Inside on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Insight Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service ad agency, InsightCubed.com, and the elite training team at Tarot International. Achieve, lead, outclass at Tarot.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour, our Halloween edition, boo, and we're grateful that you are with us again today. In studio with us is the president of Tarot International. Her name is Rowena Crosby. Ro, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Thanks so very much.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Michael.
We always learn something when you people step into our studio, and that's always a valuable add. I just saw you, as a matter of fact. We were together at the Trust Belt Tour put on by Conway International, and just before you were here, we had an interview with Jay Steinmetz, who's a barcoding guy from Baltimore, Maryland, that we talked to about stuff in barcoding. It's a fascinating business. Who knew? Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of fascinating businesses that we find out about.
There really are. And you were a guest on a panel discussing what?
I was part of a panel discussing workforce and the challenges that businesses, large and small, are going to have in the years ahead, and not just in Iowa, really nationally. And, well, particularly in the Midwest, since most of the guests at that conference had traveled here from other Midwest places. But as you mentioned, they were here from the East Coast, too.
Absolutely. And one of the things I think is fascinating, and we're seeing this all over, where labor unions are involved in high schools now, recruiting people for training.
Yes.
We just had a story today about a home builder group that's owned really by Berkshire Hathaway, that they're starting their own trades school out there. And it's coming to the point, at no charge, by the way, to anybody. I mean, it's coming to the point that people are having to get really, well, inventive.
Yes.
To find workers. What were you hearing in your panel?
Well, there was really two themes, and that was one of them, just the lack of skills. And we know in Iowa and for many states, unemployment is at less than 4%. And when you look at Iowa, we've got more ex-felons in the workforce than most other states, most mothers with children under the age of six than most other states, more people that have various disabilities than other states. So we've done a terrific job here in Iowa of tapping a lot of potential pools of talent, and yet we're still struggling.
Yeah.
And so one of the themes is around technical skills, and you were talking about trying to provide that kind of education for the areas where we've really got a drought in construction and welding, things like that. The other drought that we're seeing is people are coming into the workforce without the interpersonal skills that the employers are needing. You know, the things we used to call soft skills, there is nothing soft about collaboration and the ability to be inventive and creative and work together with other folks.
And communicate.
And communicate and effectively.
Simply, you know, one of the things in your book, which is, it's called Your Invisible Toolbox, and I know it's written for millennials, or that's the subtitle, but there is such interesting stuff in there about that topic. You long said that, 80% of success ratio in a career is dependent on those interpersonal skills?
Yes, but pick your favorite number. Dr. Bolton calls it 80%, but Harvard, Stanford, and Carnegie put the number at 85%. But whichever your favorite number is, our success largely depends on our ability to be able to relate well to others. And that's becoming even more important as people are having to work remotely. There's challenges. How do you build trust across distance? And people serving on cross-functional teams, now they have to build relationships with people that really don't have a lot in common with them. You get the sales folks working with the engineers, and there's really a set of skills to be able to bring out the best in all of them.
And part of those skills is the ability, as we said, to communicate and to relate and to negotiate and to simply build relationships with individuals. You know, we had Deborah Renner on not too very long ago, and she was talking about tips to enhance your executive presence.
Yes, that's a really important area to a lot of companies and executives these days.
Well, and not only executives, but I took that entire conversation, Ro, as a primer for individuals who want to climb the corporate ladder, because what she was talking about, those tips to enhance your executive presence, works all the way across the work spectrum.
It really does. And it reflects our organizational cultures. And people see us before they hear us. They size us up in 2 seconds, and they do it based on a lot of things that really aren't in our control. If you think gender, height, weight, age, all that kind of stuff. But what we can influence is how do we greet people? How do we interact with them? How do we show up? How do we present ourselves? And that's a pretty critical set of skills that's called executive presence.
You know, we had last week. Was it last week already?
Where time, am I again?
I know. What day is this? Oh, it's Halloween. That's right. Last week, we had Sukaradian. Mm-hmm. And he's retiring, as you know, from Bankers Trust.
We'll miss him.
Beloved man. And there's a guy who is a pretty powerful presence here in the Des Moines Metro, in the state of Iowa, I would say. And his executive presence is so humble.
Yes.
And kind. I can't, you know, I was embarrassed. He kept calling me sir. I said, I'm not that much older than you. Come on, cut it out.
Yes.
But so, yes, you can control those things, correct?
And I'm so pleased to hear that example, Michael, because often we tend to think of executive presence as some kind of stuffy, formal way of interacting. Oh. And actually, it's more about how do we make people feel around us and showing value to the other person that doesn't have to be in any stuffy or formal way.
That's right. And he's a master at that. He truly is. One of the things that we wanted to visit with you about, Ro, is coaching.
Yes. Now,
you know, I have said many, many times on this broadcast and sometimes in front of executive coaches that it's tough to swing a dead cat and not hit an executive coach, you know, just like everywhere. And I was really questioning the fact, so are you busy? I mean, how many? And yes, many are busy and they're doing good work out there. So let's talk about Tarot International and your complement of executive coaching. What does that mean?
Well, you've opened up two important areas. So let me touch on the first one. You know, anybody can throw up a shingle and call themselves an executive coach.
Absolutely.
And many people do, and that's actually unfortunate. We're not a regulated industry. You can't do that in fields like law or medicine or psychology, right? Those are professions that sanction their members and have standards with which you're expected to hold, or you get thrown out of the profession.
Oh.
Executive coaching isn't like that. And since it isn't regulated, it requires the members of the people of the groups doing it to kind of self-regulate. And as a result, you see this wide range of skills. The other thing that's going on, you know, and some people make us very proud, they're doing a nice job with executive coaching, and others have read a textbook and think that they can tell a CEO how to run their company. The other thing that we see is as coaching and personal training becomes more mature, we're seeing segmentation. And so it used to be you could just call yourself a coach and nobody really knew what that was. Now we've got business coaches. We've got market specialists that can help you figure out which market you should be in and coach you around that. There's life coaches. There's fitness coaches. There's all these different types. So the type of coaching that we do at Tarot is skill-based, behavior-based, around interpersonal skills, and we go away. So the type of coaching we do is if there is a gap in skills, and we help people acquire that, and after the gap has been filled, the coach doesn't hang around in perpetuity, as some coaching, business coaching relationships, strategic relationships will.
All right. How do you find out where those voids are? That must take a little bit of work on your part and part of the people who are being coached.
Yes, we believe it's important to do a needs assessment before we will ever make a recommendation on a coaching program for two reasons. One is to make sure that we're diagnosing it right, and the other is to make sure there's a chemistry there between the coaching candidate and the members of the coaching team so that you can increase the chances of success. And we use a competency-based model where we take a look at what are the expectations of the individual in the context they work. So what job are they being prepared for, or what challenge are they facing? What are the competencies that are required? Then we do what's called a gap analysis. What are they doing well and where are the gaps? And then we can recommend a coaching program. They're typically 6 to 12 months in length, and they could involve some formal training. There's a lot of one-on-one coaching and often assessment work as well.
And in your stable of individuals that you have there at Tarot International, all extremely well-qualified people. I don't know where you've been so lucky to find all these folks.
I have been very fortunate to find these folks.
Who does this? Is it an interdisciplinary approach among members of the staff there?
Yeah, thanks for asking that question. That is something unique about Tarot. That we do such specialized work that there is no member of our team that can actually serve all of the coaching needs that a client may have. In fact, there's three competency areas I'm not qualified to be able to coach someone on. So we use a model not unlike a sports model, you might think, where there's a head coach and then there's position coaches. And so the head coach will make the recommendations on the program and then engage the other coaches as the program unfolds. So likely a coaching candidate will work with three or four or five members of our team over the course of a year.
And that would make sense because just like in sports or just like in football, for example, although we have 100 yards, you in Canada have 110
yards. We have 110 yards in Canada, exactly.
Yeah, lengthen that.
And fewer downs.
And fewer downs, that's right. Got to go further and fewer downs. Who would be a prime candidate for this?
There are a couple of reasons people come to executive coaching. So if their needs are fairly unique, that's a good candidate for executive coaching. If you've got a group of people in an organization that have common needs, you're probably better and a more economical way to do that is to bring them together for a learning experience, a workshop. But if the needs are unique, which tends to be a more executive person, and we like to see people that are top performers that are being prepped for the next level of contribution. It's usually a recipe for disaster if this is the last attempt to try to fix some kind of a behavior before they're escorted from the building.
Yeah, so, I would imagine so.
Yeah.
There are different types of individuals with different strengths. There are technicians, there are mid-level managers, there are executives. Do you program this according to where someone is or where they're going?
And that's such an important thing to consider in needs assessment. The lower we are in the organization, the more necessary that we spend most of our time with our technical skills and interpersonal skills. Every job's going to have those requirements. As we start to climb through the succession planning of an organization, we have to find out how to let go of the technical skills. And so many of us have identified with them. I know I've struggled with it. I bet you have as well. It's the classic entrepreneur model. The technician starts the company doing what they love to do. I'm a trainer. And then as you start progressing and building an organization, you've got to focus more on strategic issues and allow
and
others, create an environment where others can do the technical skills. And that's something we really help folks figure out if they're being prepped for a leadership role. How do I let go of that identity I have as a technician? And how do I acquire some competence and capability around leadership?
Yeah, and those are difficult things to let go.
It's our very identity.
It is, yeah. That's what makes us run. What are the challenges that you face with coaching executives or coaching anybody? Are they personal challenges? Are they habits that people have to overcome? What might they be?
Yeah, it's probably the same for all of us. They say the heart of interpersonal skills development is self-awareness. And taking a look at self, strengths, and blemishes is hard for all of us. By the time someone comes to Tarot for executive coaching, they're fully cooked. They've got a lot of habits. They've had a lot of success in their career, and they're being challenged to lead in a new situation, which means they've got to take a hard look at the way they've done things. Maybe let's go with some of that. And that's one of the toughest things any of us do.
Yeah. Is there an entry point for people who are seeking executive coaching? I mean, it's not one system fits all.
Right.
So if I have been a leader of an organization, say, for, 10 years, and I'm being considered or I'm moving on to a larger organization, are there some things that I might even be able to learn at that advanced years?
Well, I'm a purist about learning.
I know you are.
I believe we all can continue to grow and learn in all of these different areas. And just when we've achieved mastery, somebody flatters us with a new opportunity, and then there's probably a gap that can be filled. The beauty of an external coach is they don't have an agenda that an internal person may have. And the more senior that you are, the fewer people you often have in a peer group to talk to. So having an external coach can be a real asset. We really encourage people, though, do your homework. Vet these coaches. Mm-hmm. Do the reference checks. Find out what approach they're using. Meet the coaches because, as we started our conversation, not all are created equal.
That's right. How do people find out more about what it is that you guys do?
Well, probably a good place to start is on the internet. So go to tero.com, T-E-R-O.com, click on the coaching link, and certainly just call Ann Block in our company, and she can connect people with the resources.
She certainly can.
Yes.
she is an amazing connector. I've come to really enjoy all of the people that work at Tero, and I get to be with you next week.
You too. I'm so excited. We're going to turn the tables, and we get to interview you on our YouTube show, live show, too.
No, there's no recording of that, is
there? There is no recording. We're going to go live, and it's not just our voice. We've got to have our smiling faces, too.
And this is your 34th edition, I think it is.
I believe it is. It's 33 or 34th.
Yeah, wow. So I'm honored to be able to be part of that. So we'll look forward to doing that next Monday.
Absolutely. We're flattered that you've accepted the invitation.
And we will share that information where you can watch all that on Twitter and other social media devices. Ro, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
Always, always a learnable moment when the folks from Tero show up. All right, we've got a step aside because it's nigh on to 6 o'clock. That 17 minutes went really quick, didn't it?
It did go quick.
Wow. Tyler Hackenmiller is our producer, ladies and gentlemen. He's the one that twists the dials, makes sure that you hear everything that goes on each and every day here at the Business News Hour. Mary Sayer is the liaison between our advertising agency and the Des Moines Radio Group. Patrick Wood is the program director for the radio station. James Goodlett wrote and produced the music that you're listening to right now. The voice of Insight on Business, the News Hour, is Jimmy Olson. And the general manager for the Des Moines Radio Group is Jeff Delvaux. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. We will be back tomorrow with more of the Business News Hour. We got a jam-packed show for you tomorrow. We're going to be talking to an individual whose practices in the area, well, of figuring out why this superpower called the United States came to exist. That story comes up tomorrow. For all of us, be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night. The Business News Hour. Thanks for listening.